this is Robin.
And this is Olivia, and you're listening to K-Pop Hot Sheet. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot Sheet and rate us on Apple Music and Spotify if you enjoyed the show.
So it's been a minute. We are now...
I feel like we always start like that.
We're deep into fall now. I mean, yeah, we do always start like that, but we're trying, guys. But since it's been a minute, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about some stuff that's been going on with Jesse, a lot of drama there. That poor kid from Rise who left the group, rejoined the group, left again immediately. We would be remiss if we did not talk about HYBE, because there's always so much drama going on with our buddies over at HYBE, with some internal documents that have been leaked. So we're going to try to figure out what's going on there. Olivia's going to tell me about some girl losing her tooth. I don't know. I'm excited.
Why are you excited about that?
I don't know. It sounds like the kind of thing that's probably just the statement a girl losing her tooth makes me think that it's something that's probably sad, but I'm going to find hilarious.
You'll find out.
So we'll see. We'll find out. And then we're going to end talking about G-Dragon, because he just came back. Hey, GD. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about our opinion with that, which you'll definitely want to hear, of course. So starting off with Jesse. So Jesse, the rapper, solo artist, we all know and most of us used to love her. Some people do not so much anymore. She has been involved with this drama surrounding the assault of one of her fans. So apparently, and there is CCTV footage around this, so I have seen the footage from the different angles that you can see it from, have a pretty good idea of, like, physically what occurred. But, of course, there's no sound, so you don't know what people are saying. So I always kind of take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, especially when it comes to... something that turns into an altercation of some sort, because you don't know what people are saying to each other. But apparently, you know, Jessie's out, she's drinking with her friends in Gangnam, she is living her best life, and a fan who was a minor approached her and her group and supposedly requested a photo with her. She politely declined, which, of course, it's like the middle of the night and you're out drunk with your friends, like, that's all well and good. And this happened on September 29th, you know, early in the morning, so they'd been out for a while. And I guess somebody from her group tried to go after this kid, this fan. I'll call them a kid just because they were a minor, they're underage. We'll go into this assuming that it's all innocent and good and they just really wanted a picture with her.
But question though, like, I wonder, and maybe you'll get into this, was he, after she said no, did he do anything else that perpetuated the guy to go after him?
It sounds like they're saying that he continued to take pictures of her, and in one of the CCTV footage videos, it does look like there is a cell phone camera flash going off, but it's kind of hard to tell what's happening. So it seems like, and also I would ask why somebody who is a minor is out in the middle of the night in Gangnam. I don't know. But yes, yeah, so I guess they'd asked for a picture. She was like, no, but, and it looks like she's being very polite in the interaction. Again, we don't hear what's being said. They continue to take pictures anyway. The guy, one of her acquaintances that's with her group of friends, then kind of starts to go after this kid. And you can see people trying to pull him away. Somebody else, it might be the same person, but regardless, somebody that was with the group that was with her ends up punching this kid in the head. I think he gets punched in the stomach a couple times, maybe by a second person, but like two guys in the group that's with Jesse goes after this kid. So she tries to intervene a little bit, like just kind of grabbing people's arms, being like, no. This other girl that's with them is like trying to push the one guy away. Like people are trying to break it up.
Was this kid hurt badly? Like he kept going?
I don't know. I want to say I don't think so, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think it was anything. Like I don't think anybody went to the hospital. I'll say that. Like honestly, watching the footage, it looks like anything you would see on a normal night in a normal city where you're
Right.
just like, oh shit.
Like, go away. Don't, and someone would be like shoving someone, like, hey, give us our space. You're just drunk or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely got punched, but
Oh,
like.
okay. Well, I also wonder when you say minor, like, is he like technically a minor, but he's 17, He's like almost adult-like or.
I don't know. Unclear. I would assume somebody who's out at like 1, 2 a.m., whatever, it may have been even 3 a.m. I feel like it was pretty. Why, if you're out, I would hope that you're a little bit on the older
I
side.
would think so too. Yeah, there's probably technically a minor, but they're probably like 16, 17.
Yeah. So that happened. The footage got released. It was like all over the news. I didn't realize that in Korea this was like a huge story. So according to this one Reddit comment, this person saying in Korea the fan incident is getting more press than Honey speaking at the National Assembly, and she, meaning Jessie, is getting slaughtered in the press. The main video of the assault has 7.6 million views.
Wow.
So, one of the biggest issues that people are having, because nobody, even the people who are kind of attacking her online and are no longer fans, they're not thinking that she should have tried to break up this attack or like physically intervened in any way. And she did walk away. It does show her walking away after shit starts to get real, which I don't blame her. You're the famous face in this incident. And a lot of people aren't necessarily mad that she walked away either, but it's what she did afterwards. She didn't walk away and call the police. She didn't do anything besides apparently go to another bar with her group of friends. Not with the main assailant, but with the friends that she was with, they went to another bar. The police had to track them down, and apparently she was not cooperating with the police, wasn't really helping them identify the attacker. She was kind of like, I don't know that guy, which also I get. Like, if it's a friend of a friend or an acquaintance or somebody that you just met that night, like, how many times have you been out and you.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want, and especially being in her status, you're probably like, oh shit, like shit is going down. I think in that situation, in the heat of the moment, it's hard to make a choice, and it's better just be like, I'm not gonna get involved in this, until you know more, or maybe you speak with your manager or your team on how you should handle it. Like, I would not have been giving out names either, I feel like,
Yeah, and apparently the victim's family reached out to her to try to identify the attackers, and a label worker told them to leave Jessie alone as, quote, she was not involved in the matter, which, like, I get it. This is a fan who got hurt and she was there, and, like, there's that element of it, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I'm not taking her side, but I can also see. Like, it's more complicated than
Yeah, I feel
the
like,
internet wants to believe,
and you go back to the thing of like, yeah, they're celebrities, but she's out doing her own thing. She politely declined. She's allowed to decline and say no. And then the situation unfortunately escalated because the kid kept taking pictures, and then that guy, I guess, felt entitled to be like, stop and get in the middle of it. But like, that's not Jesse's fault. She said no, and then some other guy acted on his own accord. Like, I would also feel a little bit, it's a little bit unfair. Like, you can argue, it's still a part of your entourage, and you have some sort of responsibility, but does she, when she was just like living her life and she's just trying to proceed with her night. And she said, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to take a picture right now. Probably shit faced, you know. Does she bear a responsibility?
Well, and a lot of people, and we'll get into this when we talk about that kid from Rise and what happened with him. A lot of people are like, well, it reflects poorly on her, the type of people she chooses to surround herself with. And it's like, come on. Like, if you're out having a fun night out, you know, with the plan literally being we're just going to go out and drink and have a good time.
Yeah, and the group.
The people that end up
yeah, you
in
don't
your
control.
Group,
you don't control that.
Right. But this Reddit comment is saying the fact that the attacker was Chinese and fled the country feeds into Korean xenophobia. Now Jessie's American identity is also feeding into negative perceptions against her. Her image of being both sweet and gangsta is ruined. They are reevaluating her whole image, and now her past assault of a woman from 2013 is being talked about again, establishing it as a pattern of behavior.
So how is her image of being a gangster ruined? Because a gangster would absolutely act like this.
Of being both sweet and a gangster.
Well, that's an oxymoron. Like, come on. Come on, guys. What do you mean by that?
I know. Yeah, so apparently in 2013, and I vaguely remember this, and I did just look it up a little bit earlier, but she was out at a club. It's always like, you know, these scenarios and situations where I feel like, especially if you're a famous person and you're trying to have a good time and somebody's either treating you a certain way because you're famous or wanting to get too close to you or something going on. Something happened with some woman at a club. And I think that it was one of Jessie's friends and not her herself ended up punching this woman in the face or something. Honestly, it sounds like Jessie has some good friends.
Yeah, like they're taking care of her. And it wasn't her doing it. And again, it's like, people can establish whatever pattern they want. Like, okay, maybe she needs to choose people that aren't so aggressive. But at the same time, why? Why does she have to do that? Like, those are her fucking friends. And she's out just doing her thing. She herself did not lay her hands on someone. So what's the problem?
Yeah. So Jessie released a statement. And I'll read it in its entirety. It's not too long. But quote, first of all, I would like to express my apology to the victim and his family who suffered damages due to this incident. Even though the incident wasn't caused by me, I have hurt many people, including the victim, with my wrong actions, attitude, and lack of response from the time of the incident occurred until now, and I made them feel betrayed and angry. I regret it a thousand of times, and this is the English version. She did do it in Korean as well, although she speaks fluent English, so this is just me saying I'm reading how it's written and I know it ain't right. I regret it 1,000 of times, 10,000 of times. I wish I could go back to that time. If I had taken a picture with the victim, if I had been more proactive protecting the victim, if I had gone to the police station right away, if I had made a proper apology, the victim would have not suffered like this. All of this is my responsibility. I know I can't be forgiven with just one word. However, I'll try to correct my mistake and help the victim recover. It's too late, but I apologize again. I did wrong. Jessie. So the fact that she starts it, the one part with, if I had taken a picture with the victim, like, that's sad. You shouldn't. I mean,
yeah, like she's thinking back like, oh my God, I could have stopped it. Like, if I only just took a picture, like, the situation would have ended. But again, like I said earlier, like, it's not her responsibility to take a picture with everyone. If you don't feel like taking a picture, you shouldn't have to. You're not just like a freaking doll.
Yeah.
For everyone's amusement.
And that's why I just keep going back to, you know, we can watch the CCTV footage all we want, but we don't know what anybody said or really what that, and I'll still call them a kid, what that kid was doing. Like, it could have been invading her space. It could have been, like, really not cool. And everybody always wants to say, well, you choose the line of work. You choose to be a celebrity. You choose this and that. It's like, That doesn't make you the property of the public.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm watching the CCTV footage now, actually. And she's stopping people right away. From the moment she says, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want to take a picture. Somebody is stepping forward and she grabs his arm right away and like stops him.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like she didn't mean any harm from the beginning. She was trying to stop people. And then again, like she can't control how it like escalates. I don't know. It just feels a little bit unfair. I get it. You can say she has a bit of a sense of a responsibility, but I think it's a little bit unfair. She shouldn't be responsible for other people's actions, especially also like a friend of a friend's action as well.
Yeah. And I think some things came out where maybe she's more friendly with the person than she initially indicated. But regardless.
Even so, right? Like my friend, even like my family member may do something. I'm not responsible for their action. You know what yeah. I mean? So
Jessie ended up parting ways with her agency DOD Entertainment after just 1 month. So
after this thing happened?
After this happened, yes. So because she had started her own label, Unni, right? Uh-huh. Which deals with the music part of it, but she had signed with DOD to manage her activities. So after this incident, she ended up parting ways with DOD. She has apparently been receiving a lot of death threats.
My God.
Which, like, for people to be like, you didn't do right to protect somebody and, like, you know, trying to say that she's a bad person and then to, like, go at her and be like, I want to kill you. It's just, it's wild to me. Like, how is that
a better, yeah, like, what are you yeah.
So yeah, she had to, I remember seeing, because I still follow her on Instagram, because I'm not gonna be a hater unless other things come out that indicate that she's a bad person. I'm not,
then you'll be
seeing
a hater.
It through this, yeah. But yeah, she had to say something on Instagram to basically be like, this is crazy, like, stop sending me death threats. And it seems like she's been pretty quiet now, yeah. Understandably. But it seems like, at least in Korea, this is probably a much larger story than even I thought it would be. I wasn't sure how popular Jessie was over there necessarily, but I guess popular enough that
she's popular a lot like this. Variety shows wise, you know, she had her own show and she would show up on a lot of shows as well. And she was on Unni's like a couple of yeah, so I think she had a popularity from that sense and music wise too. But yeah, I wonder how big of an effect this is going to have on her now. Because I feel like her popular, ever since like she left Psy's label too, like it's just been going down. And then her show got like canceled or stopped or whatever. She doesn't have that show anymore. And I'm pretty sure there was a documentary. I don't remember if we discussed this here, but I remember seeing something online where she did a documentary and there was a clip of how when they were doing the tours, like it wasn't managed very well, her tour, like things weren't booked correctly, and it just made it seem as if like her company wasn't really taking that good care of her or was negligent. So I don't know what's going on. It almost feels like a bit of like the fall of Jessie, but I'm almost like, well, how did that happen and why? Like she was doing so great.
Yeah, I feel like she was doing great under P Nation, but she wasn't happy with that because I feel like the songs were a bit more like what would be popular. Honestly, all of her songs that were released when she was under Psy at P Nation are my favorite Jessie songs. So
interesting.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
So another person who has had a lot of drama surrounding them, this poor guy. So the group Rise, which when they first came out and we listened to Get a Guitar, I know that you were like, oh my god, I'm gonna buy the album.
Yeah, they're fun, they're really good, and I think they're doing well still even with this controversy.
Yeah, so Rise, Sung-hun was an original member of the group, so they were originally 7 members. But I think it was before they even released Get a Guitar. So this was in August of last year, August 2023. There was a leak of private pre-rise photos and videos of Sung-hun that showed him kissing an unidentified woman in a bed and smoking a cigarette. Scandal. So, yeah. Apparently he had a girlfriend and he smoked cigarettes and he was a regular teenage boy. God forbid. So, ahead of the release of Get a Guitar, which was like the beginning of September of last year, he ended up, and he was 19 at this time, he went on the group's Instagram account on August 30th to, quote, sincerely apologize to the fans who are supporting Rise, saying that he caused damage to our team through personal matters, all out of my carelessness. He added that he hadn't addressed the situation sooner out of fear and nervousness and said that he reflected a lot and vowed to put the team first by being more careful both on and off the stage. So pretty much right before they officially debuted pictures of him smoking a cigarette, kissing a lady, caused a lot of people to, view him in a certain way.
I mean, the smoking, I feel like, okay, ooh, like underage. I know Korea is crazy about it. Like kissing a woman, I feel like, oh my God.
Everybody in Korea smoke, though?
I know.
I feel like everybody smokes.
I know, but it's like they'll take any opportunity to say you shouldn't be doing that. Like, you know, that they hold the idols to a different moral standard. But I'm a little surprised that it's 2024, almost 2025. And like Korea's gonna Korea still. That's fine. You know, it's their culture. I get it. But how is there like not even a little bit of leniency to be like, okay, fine. If you reflect it and you'll do better, like we'll give you a second chance.
Yeah. Well, November of last year, SM then had to upload a notice talking about this, saying that Sung-hun was, quote, feeling severely apologetic and is reflecting on himself for causing disappointment and commotion to not only the team and members, but also to fans due to issues regarding his personal life that are leaked and circulated. So SM actually did note that the leaks were maliciously edited, and they actually called it severe defamation and promised legal action. But ultimately, they still settled on the indefinite suspension of Sung-hun's activities. So according to SM's statement at the time, Sung-hun also, quote, relayed his intention to halt activities. The label judged that it was too difficult for him to continue through the situation. So then that same day, through Rise's Weverse account, Sung-hun shared a handwritten letter that he was deeply reflecting on his careless actions from the past and apologized to the group's fans, Rise members, and label staff.
And that wasn't enough?
That was the end of November of last year. So
also a little crazy that it's almost 1 year later.
Here we are a year later, and what has since happened is, so basically there was silence after that. Nobody talked about his status in the group. Rise just continued to do their thing. Apparently, the band's Rising Day fan con tour, which went through Asia and North America this past spring and summer, there were recorded incidents in Mexico City and Los Angeles showing crowds chanting Sung-hun's name and that, quote, Rise is 7. So a lot of international fans, especially as they started to, gain popularity globally, were like, this is ridiculous. Bring him back.
That's great.
Yeah. So flash forward to about a month ago at this point, where SM Entertainment's management team that's in charge of Rise, known as Wizard Production, which I love, announced on October 10th that Sunghun would return to gradually participate in some of the group's scheduled activities for November and greet the fans once again. But, lo and behold, that decision was reversed about 48 hours later when another announcement dropped, with two of the directors stating that, quote, "We realized that our decision had actually hurt fans more and caused them greater confusion instead."
That's ridiculous.
So, and this is the part where I'm just like, oh, God. In the hours following the initial return announcement, some Rise fans, which, are you really fans if you're doing this? I would say not. They protested by surrounding SM Entertainment's local headquarters in Seoul with funeral wreaths.
That's fucked up.
So apparently, it's become increasingly common for K-pop, quote-unquote, fans who are kind of trying to say, this person is dead to me, to send funeral wreaths. So phrases like Rise is six and Sunghun out were decorated on these wreaths, and these things cost between $70 to $270.
I was just going to say, like, really, like, who has the time and the money to just fucking do this? Like, come on.
It's crazy behavior. But apparently other local fans worked together to destroy and remove them from the premises. I did see a really sad picture, which who knows if it was actually Sunghun, but that they were saying it was him walking outside. It was like in the middle of the night with his hat pulled down, like looking at the wreaths. Which
that's really sad.
It's horrible. So another member of the group, Wonbin, had even posted a letter to fans on the Weverse account for the group in what seemed like an effort to console potentially upset fans and reiterate the fact that this was a decision made by the entire group. But then after his official departure was announced, that letter was deleted without any explanation whatsoever. It just disappeared.
I just feel like, why did SM give in to these freaking bullies? Like, you're just setting the precedent that anytime they're not happy, and okay, devil's advocate, they're the ones that are gonna like spend their money, so if they're not happy, then yeah, like it might have implications, but you're really gonna let them choose what's gonna happen and you're not gonna protect your artists? Like, how bad can this person feel? And seeing those funeral wreaths too, like, that must have a really big effect on you mentally, you know?
It's insane, honestly. And then I saw something, and I don't know. I feel like somebody at least was trying to do a similar thing. Like, they saw that this worked, so they were like, sweet. They wanted to send wreaths about Suga because of that scooter thing. And I'm like, are you
Wait,
serious?
Again? Like, now? I thought they were done with this.
God. Yeah, everybody, I feel like it did, it seriously set the precedence that, like, or precedent that if you're a fan and you get enough people together and do some sort of protest or demonstration to show that whatever it is that you want to happen, you can make it happen if you're just, like, loud enough. Or if you essentially bully somebody enough for all of their, oh, so-and-so was a bully and they have to get kicked out of the group, like, this is bullying behavior.
Yeah.
So on October 13th is when they announced that he would be permanently leaving the group. So announced he'd be coming back on the 10th. All of this shit happens the 13th, permanently leaving. Like, it's just
so crazy that it took a year for them to make the decision to be like, all right, he's back in the group, blah, blah, blah. And all of that was unraveled in a matter of 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Completely insane. And I'm going to read his final letter about his, he calls it his decision, but, like, let's be real, it was not.
Yeah,
Yeah. It wasn't his decision. It wasn't the other members' decisions.
Well, honestly, maybe after he saw those wreaths, maybe he was like, F it. Like, I don't want to deal with this. It could have also been his decision. Like, that,
yeah,
that would make sense why it was such a quick... Like, if it wasn't SM saying, you know, maybe they wanted to stick by him, but maybe he was like, I just don't want to deal with this, you know?
Yeah. But so a lot of the international music, not distributors, but like stores, like Choice Music and what's it called? The place I buy all my stuff from. Sub K Pop Shop. Sub K Shop? Whatever. I don't know what shop that is. All of these places who import, you know, CDs and merch, etc., and sell it to American fans or, you know, globally to other fans outside of Korea, they all basically band together and said, we'll fulfill any pre-orders that anybody has put in. We'll fulfill any orders of merch and things that have already been placed that are, like, gonna be shipped, but after that, like, we're not dealing with Rise stuff anymore in support of the group. Like,
wait, what?
To essentially, and I think I might have the, because I got an email from Sub K about their stance on the matter, and at first I was confused and I was like, what? Like, you just were. But basically, they're trying to stand behind the group and the members because the members didn't want him to leave. He didn't want to leave. They're more popular globally. So this is their way of being like, middle fingers to SM. Screw you guys. We're not going to financially support the group then unless you bring him back again.
But I don't know how that helps the group.
And it doesn't.
I don't know if it's, they're going to make a reversal, Una reversal again, you know?
Probably not.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. It's all crazy. It sounds like basically, I feel like the group is done then. I mean, maybe they continue as six people.
I think they'll continue.
If they're more popular globally, though, and all of the global fans are trying to boycott...
It's just, sorry guys, just dumb. Like, you're not helping them.
I don't know, it's messy. But
speaking of messy,
oh god, hype.
I feel like that saying of like, the bigger they get, the harder they fall. Hype's just gotten too big. There's just too much shit going on, and they're not handling themselves well, you know? Maybe they grew too fast, too quickly. But Anna was. I'm sure people are very aware. There's been a leak of some internal Hype documents. And I'm pretty sure this is happening because of the whole Minhee-jin drama, you know? So here comes Minhee-jin again. Doesn't leave our podcast. Because now they're, you know, they have court, like, sessions and everything. And I think these documents are probably part of that. Or there was a whistleblower, whatever. These documents were leaked. And this report was called the Weekly Music Industry Report. And what this report contained was comments about idols and agencies, like online opinions. TLDR, they were basically like looking online to see what like the fans were thinking about the industry. And it wasn't just Hype groups. They were just looking about... all K-pop groups, right? You might call this some like market research, right?
Yeah, they're doing a competitive audit.
Exactly. So someone then would take those, summarize all those opinions in the reports, but they would also add additional comments and their own like subjectivity, their own like kind of thoughts and opinions on the matter. So on October 24th, the CEO, Kim Tae-ho, was asked about this. He came out. He apologized. He stated that they're not going to pursue who leaked the document. I don't know if it was that day, but I read later on that like apparently now they've stopped doing this report internally. But anyway, so people... you know, there's been a lot of comments. Some people are posting it. Some people are not posting the report just because, you know, it's like things are redacted. There's like just a few comments here and there. So it's hard to really make like a decision based on everything. But for example, I can give you an example of one of the comments in there that perpetuates even more this whole Minnie Jean, New Jeans drama. So I'm quoting here, as various communities began to use Hybe's new ILE, so it's NEU-ILL-LEE, to refer to New Jeans, ILIT, and Lesser FM, people began to mention ILIT more. Right now, it might be necessary to tie Lesser FM to Blackpink, aespa, and IVE into the category of girl groups as million sellers in the first week of sales and separate them from the fourth generation. We were plagued by the term new ILE for a few days, but we can just throw new away and start a whole new thing. So this caused a lot of controversy because then people are saying like, oh my God, like this is New Jeans and Mihyjin saying they want to throw us away. And this fed more into that. So that was kind of interesting. And it's kind of got me thinking like, is she in the right? Are they in the right? Like, what is going on here? Or is there another side as well, right?
I wonder, when was that from, like, that new, like...
It was just part of the report, so I don't know when it happened, because I'd have to, like, dig deep, and I don't even know if they have the dates. It was just a comment that was, like, part of the report, and people started talking about it, because obviously, like, New Jeans had that whole... the YouTube stream they did, talking about how they're not being like taken care of and everything.
Yeah, but I wonder if this was a weekly report after Minhyjin started all the drama. I would be like, let's throw it away too.
Oh, that's true. I don't know. I don't. That's true. Let me see what else here.
I mean, so, I'm just
yeah.
I was just going to say, I'm going to continuously play like a corporate devil's advocate that this was all like, to me, I get that some of it is, they're probably saying pretty horrible things about minors and young kids and these people, things about their appearance and like whether, you know, a 14-year-old is sexy. I'm sure there's stuff like that in there, but... Mm-hmm. Like, that is literally how the entire industry has been set up and the things that have perpetuated since the dawn of time. And if they're just kind of documenting that for business purposes, like, I don't know, people should be mad about the fact that the industry treats idols this way, that fans treat idols this way, as we just talked about with Jesse and the kid from Rise, like their property or like their products or not human.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Like, it's a company like any other company, and their product is their artists, unfortunately, you know, like they're human, but at the same time they're making money for them. So company's gonna company, and they're gonna try to figure out like, oh, what can we do to make their image better? Or what are people saying and blah, blah, blah. But it's like to the level, I think what people are harking upon is like, yes, there's data out there, right? But online data is not the only data. So maybe that's the thing. And we don't know for sure, like how much of an impact did this report have on like company decisions? Or was this just like one part of it, because online, like, you have a lot of haters, you have a lot of people that's going to spew a lot of nonsense, a lot of trolls, and somebody made a comment that like, oh, online they could be haters, but in reality they're actually like still listening to the songs and still like giving you the money and participating. That you might have that duality of what people like the keyboard warriors will say behind the screen, but then what they do in real life, and then how valuable is that really, I don't know, to the decisions you're going to make for the group.
Yeah. I mean, those people are usually the loudest people, though.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, on the 29th, Hybe posted a press release They apologized to artists, industry insiders, and fans for this industry report that was brought up during the National Assembly. He explained that the purpose of the document... He explained the purpose of the document, but stated the writer's personal views and that they were left in the document were both inappropriate. Along with apologizing to all artists within HYBE, they also apologized to artists across the industry and stated he would contact each relevant agency directly. He acknowledged company leadership was not adequately aware of the problem. They've halted creating their report and they're going to establish guidelines to prevent such problems from happening again. So,
yeah,
this is where we're at.
So my personal opinion, the devil's advocate part of me, though, I do still feel like this is just business things, business gonna business, company's gonna company. It seemed like it was shared only internally to
label
executives and the higher ups. Mm-hmm. So the person who was creating it, who was probably put in a little too much,
got a little too excited.
Yeah, I think they were taking it a little too far, probably, and shouldn't have. But they were doing that, thinking that no one would ever see it.
Exactly, and doing what they thought was their job. Just be like, okay, I'm seeing these comments, and I'm doing an analysis.
Yeah, and granted, it might have all been just to make them look good to shareholders.
Yeah,
exactly. Whatever, that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's all we know so far. I feel like it's kind of been put to rest for the time being, but who knows if more stuff will come out. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I wasn't that surprised, and, I feel like you too as well, where it's just company stuff. Could they have handled it better? Yeah, you know.
As soon as I read the description, I was like, oh, they were doing competitive audits. Of course they were. What did you get? You guys, hello.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's that for HYBE. We'll see what happens next time we come together. So moving on to something a bit more cheeky and fun, I guess. If you find it fun, I think you're going to laugh. There was a K-pop idol who lost her tooth during a broadcast. So she's part of the group called Unis, UNIS. I have not heard of them. But they recently released an episode of Unibus Tour on the Visit Busan YouTube channel. They're a fifth gen girl group. And they were just sitting around eating at the table. They were having dinner, and suddenly the youngest one, Sowon, spits something out. Then they realized it was her baby tooth. She's 13 years old. She's a teeny bopper. And I don't know, it was just so cute. You can see the video. I have a link in there if you want to see it. But she's and she was complaining about her tooth wiggling while she was eating, and then all of a sudden as she's eating it just pops out.
I'm looking at the screenshots god.
Aww. So she's the first K-pop idol to lose her baby tooth during filming, I guess, that we've seen. I'm sure there might have been others, but that it's been caught on camera.
Oh my god. And there's the screen grab of her saying to the girl next door, whispering, my tooth is almost falling out.
I know. It's so, oh, poor girl.
13. Were we still losing our teeth at 13?
I don't know. That's what I was just wondering. I guess it's possible. Definitely, you could still be losing it by 10. She's only 3 years away, you know? And maybe she's, 12 and just turned 13, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Poor baby. I just thought that was hilarious.
That is a young-ass member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really shocking that they debuted. Yeah,
nobody should be losing a baby tooth after debut. Oh my god, I do find this to be hilarious and kind of cute, but also it goes back to that feeling of me wanting to protect these little babies.
I wonder how old the other girls are. Let's see.
I've heard of them. Haven't they been around for a while? A minute, at least.
I don't know. When did they debut? Oh, they've been active for 2 years. Yeah, so how old was that girl then? 10?
Maybe she wasn't a member. Wait, hold on.
They came out of a group. Out of a group. They came out of a survival show. Universe Ticket?
Wait, this says they debuted March of this year.
Oh yeah. Wait. But why does it say they will be active for 2 years? Oh, they will be active. Okay, it's like a
produce.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. I haven't heard any of their songs. Gonna have to look them up. They look very pretty, though.
Now I gotta see how old everybody is.
Like, born in the 2000s.
I can't do math. I hate it when it just shows me the date of birth. So
Soan is born 2011 and she's 13. So everyone else is
11. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
They're probably all like 15, 16. The other ones are 2009. Yeah, so probably around like 16 years old, 17. All underage, basically.
Oh, that poor baby girl.
Literally a baby girl. But at least she's giving her group some popularity, because I had never heard of them before this. So it's great. Good job, Soan.
Oh, my. So we were gonna end talking about our man, GD.
Yeah, gotta end it big. Big bang. So GD just came out with a new song called Power. And of course, I had to listen to it. I listened to it the moment, like, I was in bed in the morning and I was on Instagram and I was like, oh my God, a new song. So I go straight to Spotify and I play it. And I was a little bit underwhelmed. And I wanted to like it so badly. And I keep thinking to my head, oh, maybe if, you know, like one of those songs that will grow on you, it might grow on me. But it just is not his best.
Yeah. Let's go watch it again. I only listened to it once. Same as you, I like woke up that morning and I always pull up YouTube when I go to run on the treadmill in the morning and end up like in the same YouTube algorithm over and over and over again. But it popped up as like the first thing and I was like, oh my God, it came out today. And I watched it and my response in my head was like all caps meh.
Yeah. All right, let's watch it. Have you watched the music video?
Yeah. So I watched the video. So
Okay.
That's the only context I have. But I wanna hear it.
Give it
again.
Another chance.
It might grow on us.
Yep. All right. Okay, I think it is growing me a little bit. I like the power that part I find a little bit annoying, but I do like the other parts of the song.
Actually, I liked it better with headphones on. Also,
I'm reading a lot of the comments too, and I think there's probably a lot of things like in the lyrics that I haven't dissected. I'm sure he's really smart with his lyrics, and I think there's probably some Easter eggs there, and he's very artistic. I was very curious about the music video. I've seen little clips and things, like, you know, there's the part where there's the breaking news segment and he goes and jumps on the table. So apparently on the table, there's just a pair of these black glasses, and people were saying there's the same glasses he wore when he went to court for something and was like facing the crowd. So I don't know if it was like a nod to that, and he's coming back and saying like, I got the power to be myself and live my best life, you know?
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm sure that there's probably all kinds of like little things in that video. I wish that he either would lip sync in the video or not.
it was bothering me. I did find that a little weird. Yeah, when I first saw it too, I was kind of like, and he wasn't staring at the camera a lot. You kept seeing him kind of avoid the camera. So I wonder if that was also an artistic style where he's kind of like just doing whatever he wants, just walking around like being crazy, but he's almost like not caring about the camera,
yeah,
you know, at all. It was very interesting.
Yeah, I would say overall disappointed, but also the hype was so real that like the anticipation of him coming back that I don't know how you could even meet those kinds of expectations of,
yeah. And you do have, from the comments I've been reading, you have this duality. Some people are kind of like, oh, it sounds so like old and like, you know, they weren't feeling the vibes. But other people were saying it sounds so GD. And I'm glad that he's sticking with his sound, because like sounds are always going to change. And you can't just keep going by the trends just to go by the trends. He is sticking true to himself and who he is as an artist. And people are applauding that and they're happy. So there's two camps, you know, and I feel like we're kind of in the middle of that, where like maybe we expected so much more. And it's been a while since we've heard from him. It's been like 10 years. But it is that is GD, you know, that is his style. Yeah. So very interesting. I'm excited to see more, though. And I wonder if he's going to make a comeback with Taeyang and Daesung. I feel like they will. It's sad that my boy T.O.P. is probably not going to be in it. He's living his best life being an actor and trying to go to space. And I applaud him for that. But I don't know if you saw that Daesung has a talk show and he had them on there. I haven't watched it yet. I need to watch it. But I noticed it, and then I saw in the comments too, they had a chair that was blank. Like, I mean, blank. There was a chair that no one was sitting on. And I was curious if they left it there just to, like, put a nod of, like, oh, Top. Like, Top is still part of the band, right? Even though he, like, left. Obviously, they didn't have a fifth chair. Mm-hmm. But they had a fourth chair that they didn't have to put there.
You know, what I really think needs to happen is that 21 needs to come to the States and yes. They need to do...
Yo, Big Bang and 21 coming back. Like, this is like my dream. These are my fucking groups. This is what I started with. Like, this is the best.
Oh, I really hope that 21.
I really hope they come. Yeah. And if not, I'm just going to have to fly to Taiwan or Japan. All right. Like, it's just, that's what's going to happen in January.
I mean.
But I hope they announce it before then.
I know. I feel like with K-pop, stuff especially, they announce it too close to the date. I feel I'm like, people need to make plans. You gotta take exactly. off at work sometimes, like to make shit happen, like,
yeah. And I don't want to miss my opportunity. Like, if they decide, oh, they're not coming and the tour's done, then I would have just flown, like I said, to Japan or Taiwan, and then you get a trip out of it. And like, the prices, because my friends were looking into it, like, they're pretty cheap. You can get the VIP tickets for like $200, where here the VIP ticket is probably gonna cost like $800.
Absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, why not get a trip to Taiwan out of it,
you know? All those Swifties, they knew what was up.
Exactly. So maybe you'll come to Taiwan too, Robin. We can podcast from there
with our amazing internet connection we'd have.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, that was fun. This was a long one.
Yeah, it was, actually. But it was a good one.
So, as always, thank you for tuning in. Really make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot She. Especially rate us on Apple Music and Spotify if you enjoyed the show. If you make it to the end of these long episodes and you like us that much, it is so helpful for you to rate us, give a review. You can leave a comment on Spotify, so go for it. Make sure to also turn notifications on in Spotify by clicking the bell icon if you want to be notified of new episodes when they're uploaded. I think we still need, what, 3 more to hit our goal that we have?
24, yeah.
All right, I think we can do it. I think we can do it.
We can do it.
Well, until next time, bye.
See ya. Bye.